Lekute Siches, Chelek, Yud Gimel, Matris Aleph. Short, Geshmak Sicha, starts out with a very basic question in Rashi. Gives us a new perspective of the whole Parshas Nedarim. Based on this, we'll understand a different Rashi. And then we go into a very general idea of Nedarim al pi Chassidus. So here we are. Kvar nisbar kama piyamim, shadarki shal Rashi b'perusi al ha-Teira, lefarish kolo enyonim ha-koshim v'abilti mevonim b'psutu shal mikra. It's explained numerous times that it is the way of Rashi in his Pirush al ha-Teira to explain anything, anything that is difficult or not understood in Pesutei Shal Mikra. Bim yesh nim enyonim anirim ki bilti mevonim b'pirush ha-posho shal ha-ksuvim. If you might find something that seems to be not understood, ve'ein Rashi mefarshim, yet Rashi does not address them, ha-reize gufa he-chocha shal ha-daitei shal Rashi misyashvim enyonim elu b'eifin poshut v'nokul kolkach. The fact that Rashi doesn't explain it implies that Rashi holds that this is understood, itself understood, in such a simple and easy way that Rashi does not need to explain it. In other words, Rashi addresses everything that's a question. If Rashi doesn't say anything, it means he holds that it's not a question. As evident from the fact that in certain places Rashi writes, I don't know what this is teaching us. If Rashi's intention was not to explain everything, there would be no need to say, I don't know what this is teaching me. Because it might just be one of those things that Rashi's not explaining. But since Rashi explains everything, then when all of a sudden there is something that Rashi himself doesn't understand what it's there for, Rashi is going to comment, I don't understand it. I don't know what it's coming to teach me. Because other than that, other than the fact that Rashi wouldn't know what it's coming to teach, Rashi would have to explain it. Because Rashi is explaining everything. This is a very fundamental idea. In other words, if you see something that's missing, Rashi didn't explain it, it's not because Rashi chose not to address it. It's because Rashi chose that it does not need, Rashi holds that it does not need to be addressed. Alpiza. So now that we have this important klal, this important rule, that Rashi is addressing whatever needs to be understood. And if he doesn't say anything, it means that he feels that it's self-understood. Tzaruch biur, we have to understand, we have to explain, ma'asher Rashi ein mevayr me'uma al ha-kosov b'parsha seinu, b'siyum parsha nedarim. We have to understand why Rashi does not address the question that seems to be obvious in the Pasuk at the end of Parshas Nedarim. This Parshas Matos, begins with the halachis of Nedarim. Begins with the idea that a person should fulfill all of his Nedarim. Lo yachal dvaroi. A person should not make his words profane or empty, meaningless. Then it goes into the certain details of a neder that was made by a wife or by a daughter, that it could be it could be nullified by the husband or the father. And then the parasha ends. Eila chukim, these are the laws, the statutes. Asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, ben ish li ishtoi, ben av li bitoi, ben urea beis aviyah. These are the statutes that Hashem commanded Moshe between a man and his wife, between a father and his daughter, in her youth, when she's in her father's home. And that's the summation, the summary, the conclusion of Parshas Nedarim. The lechede ain't move on. Lechede, it's not understood. Since the pasuk seems to be a summation, a conclusion of all the nedarim, all the dinim of the nedarim, of promises, of oaths, vows that were set up until here. It should have at least started with the basic detail of a neder, that it's an obligation upon a person making a vow to fulfill his vow. As is written in the beginning of the parsha, A person who makes a vow to Hashem or a promise to forbid something upon himself, he shouldn't make his words profane. Everything that comes out of his mouth, he should fulfill. So in the summary, we should have done the same thing, that they should have summarized the fact that there's a main detail, which is that a person has to fulfill his neder. And then go into the details, that there's different details between a husband and a wife, between a father and his daughter, etc. So the question that we have on Rashi is, why does Rashi not address this seemingly glaring piece that's missing? The fact that we do not mention in the summary the main thing of an adulter that you have to follow, fulfill your nadir. The Av. And now he's going to suggest an answer. Move on the Pirush Rashi. You could say that once the pasuk starts out with the words "Eile hachukim," these are the chukim. At this point, it's understood by according to Rashi that you now cannot include the basic obligation of fulfilling a promise. Kivon she'ene begeder chuka, mitzvah she'ein tam bedavar el gzeiras hamelech v'kesev alavolov. In other words, you have different types of mitzvahs. You have chukim. Chukim are the mitzvahs that are upon given to us like a decree from a king without the reason being given. So now in nedarim, the basic aspect of neder, which is the fact that you have to fulfill your promise, your vow, that's not a chukah. That's that, because that's a sensible, logical thing, as the pasuk says clearly, layachal dvaru. And according to Rashi, Rashi teaches layachal dvaru to mean layasa dvaru chulin. He should not make his words profane. He shouldn't put his words have to be meaningful, have to be fulfilled. So it's obvious a person says something, he has to follow through on what he said. That's not a chukah. The details that a father could be mayfair his daughter's nedarim, or a husband could be mayfair his wife's nedarim, this is really a chukah. We don't understand. Why could a father stop this daughter's nedarim? Why could the husband stop the wife's nedarim? This is a chukah. So the Rebbe is suggesting that a yeis that the pasuk says eila hachukim. So therefore, he only in the summation only uses those details that are chukim, such as the dinim, as the pasuk says bin of the bitay benishtiyste bin of the bitay, but can't include the main detail of fulfilling a neder, because that part is not a chayk. Let's see it inside. I'm going back a little bit. Move on the Pirush Rashi Shuvi Yevshelichel Benemis Etzmachiyu B'Kayim Neder. Once the pasuk says Eila Hachukim, it's obvious that you can't include the main obligation of fulfilling a neder, keeping Sheni Begeder Chukah, because fulfilling a vow is not a chukah. Mitziv Mitzvah Shein Tam Adavar. It's not the kind of mitzvah that has no reason. Elakzeda Samelach V'Chukesav Alavadav. Like, but it's like a chukah is like the decree of a king on his servants, so you can't include that in Eila Chukim Sharim Mefurish Botam, because there's a clear reason in the pasuk Leyachel Dvaru K'moy Leyachalil Dvaru Leyaseh Dvarav Chul, and he shouldn't make his words profane, empty. Ulefichach, and therefore K'chol Ayetzim Piv Yaseh. So therefore, the mitzvah of fulfilling your obligation is not a chayk; it's a mitzvah with a reason. Mashein Kein Protei Adinim. But the details of the detailed of the dinim between a husband and a wife, between a father and a daughter, there's no reason why it works the way it works, and that's a chukim, a chukah. And therefore, you might answer that the reason why the pasuk does not include the main obligation is because it starts out with eila chukim, and the main obligation is not a chukah. That might be the reason why the pasuk doesn't mention it. This in itself demands a reason. Why taka? Why take does the pasuk say Eila Chukim and only repeat the Chukim parts of Dinin Nedarim and not skip the words Eila Chukim? Don't call it a chayk and include the main aspect of neder, which is the obligation to fulfill the neder. So this obviously is bothering us very much. The fact that there's no mention in this pasuk of the din that a person has to fulfill his neder. And because of that, we're asking the question on Rashi, why does Rashi not address it? It seems like a very, very obvious piece missing from the puzzle. And therefore, why doesn't Rashi say anything about it? We're going to go straight to the answer. And in the answer, we're gonna switch things around. Move on the pashtus. It's understood very simply that the actual din, that a person who makes a promise has to fulfill his neder, has to fulfill his words, does not need a pasuk. Doesn't need to be said to us. It is something that is obvious according to simple logic. You say something, you have to fulfill what you said. It's also included in what it says in Chumash Vayikra that a person should stay away from words of falsehood. Even though it's not exactly the same, because Medvar Sheker Tirchak is talking about Bezdin. I believe there's 13 different halachas that are learned with regards to Bezdin from the words Midvar Sheker Tirchak, but nevertheless, from the foundation of it, stay away from something that is from a false, that is Sheker, that is false. It's obvious that a person who makes a neder is not staying away from Dvar Sheker unless he fulfills his neder. It's also understood from the general concept of a shvua, of a promise, ukrisus bris, and the making of a bris, of a covenant, amavur kamapam b'teira, which is brought many and several times in Teira. In other words, throughout the Teira, we already learned numerous times that a person made a neder, or a person or two people were kaidus a bris, and it the story goes on that, you know, because they made a neder, because they made a krisus bris, it had to be followed. It's simple. And therefore we find the idea of Nedarim even before Matan Torah, Kamei Shekasuv, and we bring here a few examples. Yankiv makes a neder as he's leaving Charan, and as he's leaving Be'er Sheva and he's going to Charan, Yankiv makes a neder that he's going, if Hashem takes care of him, he is going to give Meiser, and this heaven will be a sign, will be the Mizbeach, V'yachar Chacham, Le'akadosh Baruch Hu, and later on, a few prakim later, the Eibishter says, Hashem Adar to Lisham Neder, he references that neder, Atokum Tzei Min Haaretz, now leave the land of Charan. You have to pay up your neder. You made it into a mizbeach. You made it into a place that you're going to bring karbonis. Now it's time to pay up your neder. So we see over there from those tzukim in Parshas Vayetze that Yankiv made a neder, and the Eibishter expected him to fulfill that neder. Also, not just in the story, the stories of Teira, but also in the halachas of Teira, we find the concept of neder mentioned numerous times before Parshas Matos, where they officially introduce the concept of nedarim. And the pasuk doesn't mention the obligation to fulfill a neder. But it goes on to explain the details and the various different elements that branch off from this neder that a person makes. Going, for example, In the end of Parshas Bichur Kesai, Ish ki yafli neder, in the middle of Parshas Bichur Kesai, Ish ki yafli neder, ve'erkecha nefashos ta'ashan, a person that will make a neder in the idea of erkin, in the value of individuals to Hashem, sha'akosav ra'akiveya esaschum ha'shenim shel erkin, the Pasuk comes to identify, to designate the various different amounts of the values of people that have to be given to Hekdesh, based on the nether of the person, without introducing, because he made a nether, he has to fulfill the nether. No, that's obvious. He just goes to say, if it was this age, then this is the amount. If it's that age or that gender, then that's the amount. So too, Parshas Nasa, which is also before Matis. He starts out that if a man or woman is going to make a nether to become a Nazir, the Pasuk goes on to explain the various dinim of Nazir. You have to stay away from wine or from things that come from grapes, and you can't be come tummy mess, and if you do, you have to bring a carbon, etc., etc. And the Pasuk does not mention there that you have to fulfill the nether. It just goes into the details of Nazir. Why? Because the very idea, the very obligation to fulfill a nether is obvious. So too we find in Parshas Chukas that the Yidden made a nether that they're going to go to war, and if they're successful in the war, they're going to donate the value, the loot that comes from these cities. They're not going to keep it for themselves. They're going to give it away to the Eibishter. Ubna Yisrael kimu as a neder b'poyel, and the Yidden fulfilled the neder. K'meshikasu, like the Pasuk says, in the next Pasuk right away, v'yechram esam v'esareyem, that they gave away, they donated them and their cities. And Yishagam oz kedim sh'nem r'parzuzu, hoya yadu alayim inyin anadarim v'cheves kiyumam. That also then, previously, before this Parshas Matis was said, it was known to them, the idea of making a nether, and the idea that they have an obligation to fulfill the nether. So, Bekitzer, these last few paragraphs are making the point that the idea that a person has to fulfill a nether is something that's obvious, it's something that's logical, and there's technically no need for a chiyuv, for a pasuk to make a special chiyuv to fulfill a nether. That's what a nether is. A nether is you make a promise and you have to fulfill it. Pesach Tzarich Lemar comes out. That which our parsha begins with, the fact that if a person makes a neder to Hashem or makes a promise, he should not be miyachel dvarik, should not make his words profane, and he should fulfill everything that comes out of his mouth. The pasuk is not telling you this to us as a commandment or as a new din, as is seemingly understood from the way the pasuk is saying it, from the lashon of the pasuk. It's actually more of an introduction to what's going to be said afterwards. It's as if it would have said as follows: in the concept of vows, which its main din is already known to us and obvious to us, that whatever comes out of your mouth you have to do. You should know that yes, there are more details when it comes down to the stories, to the idea, to the situation of a woman who makes a neder when she is young, still living in her father's home, or a woman who is married, living in her married home. And that's the chiddush of this parsha. That which the pasuk starts out and says, you have to fulfill your promises, it's not introducing something new to us, because it's obvious to us. It's saying that which is in the dark, which we may already know the main idea, that you have to fulfill the promise. You should also know that there are some more details here that we have to talk about, and that's what this coming parsha is going to address. The details within the din of Nedarim. So, comes out that this whole parsha, the emphasis of this parsha, is not the fact to be mekayim your neder, to fulfill your neder, because that's not a chiddush. But the main emphasis, the main thrust of this parsha's nedarim, are the details of hafaras nedarim, the details of undoing a neder by a father, by a husband, etc. And that's going to lead us to a new understanding in the whole idea of nedarim. That's what he brings in his Gimel, where he's going to bring in a new Rashi that's going to be understood a little bit better based on this uftu, on this chiddush of understanding Parashas Nedarim. Al pizeh yom tigam kimash kosev Rashi b'tchilas ha-sedre Rashi ha-matis. So this is going to explain the Rashi in the beginning of the sedre. The Parashah begins that the Eibishter spoke to, the Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Rashi ha-matis. So Rashi says, chala kovet le-nesiyim l'lamdam tchila. That Moshe Rabbeinu would teach Torah to the Yidden, he would give a kavod to the Nesiim, that he would teach them before he would teach the rest of the Yidden. Now this wasn't true just for Nedarim. This was true for all parts of Torah. That when Moshe would teach the Torah that he received from the Eibishter, he would teach it to the Nesiim first. So Umar Olam Rakan. Rashi says in that case, why Dafke by Nedarim? Does the Eibishter choose to write the words Rashi Amatis and tell us this detail that the Nesiim received this covet? Lama, this teaches us Shafaras Nedarim biYachid Mumcha. If you mean Yachid Mumcha, may for Mishleisha Adiatis. When it comes to Hafaras Nedarim, when it comes to breaking a neder, it has to be done by a Yachid Mumcha, by someone who's professional, someone who's knowledgeable in the Inyan HaNedarim, someone who's important. Similar to a Rashi Amatis. If there's no Yachid Mumcha, you could use three regular people and make a Bezdin. But it's teaching us that in order to do Hafaras Nedarim, it has to be someone of a higher caliber. And that's why it says Rashi Amatis, to teach us this concept of the Nedarim being the Hafaras and Nedarim, that it has to be by someone of a high level. Now, Vilech Eire. So this is what Rashi says about Nedarim. So clearly we see that there's a connection between Nedarim and Rashi Amatis, that there's something unique that has to be learned from Nedarim to the important people. However, the connection we're making is to the part of Hafaras Nedarim, that the breaking of a neder has to be done with someone who is a Yachid Mumcha or a Bezdin. But so the question is, I know that there's a connection between Rashi Amatis and Nedarim, but how do I know, according to Pshutus Mikra, Sheinyin said that this connection of Rashi Amatis, who hapech inyin on Nedarim, is to an aspect of Nedarim that really is the exact opposite of what a Neder is all about? Hafaras and Nedarim, breaking the Neder. It seems almost unusual that we should make the connection between Rashi Amatis and Nedarim in a detail in Nedarim that's all about Hafaras Nedarim, the opposite of a Neder. I'll move on, but based on what we said in Ois Beis, that the whole Teichin of Parshas and Nedarim, the emphasis of Parshas and Nedarim is on Hafaras and Nedarim. Now it makes sense. This parsha is not coming to teach me the general concept of Nedarim. It's coming to teach me the dinim, about the specific dinim, about a woman in her youth and a woman who is married. And within that itself, the chiddush of this parsha is shehafaras nedareha yaldei avabal, that the breaking of the neder of this isha could be done either by the husband in the case of a married woman, or a father in the case of a young woman. And he says in the parentheses, the ain't svarash achidish ugambas ashabliya farash avabal. As I come, we call Nadarel. We can't say that the chidish of this parsha is that if the father or husband did not break the neder, then the neder is in effect and she has to keep it. You can't say that's the chidish, kimaikam aspulan, because there's no chidish to that. How does a neder kishara nadarim? It's a neder just like any other neder. So therefore it must be that the chiddush of this parsha is with regards to the fact that a neder could be broken, could be undone by the father or the husband. And that's the whole chiddush of this parsha. So if this parsha, the parsha of Hafaras HaNadarim, is being said to the Rashi Amatis, to hint to us that there's something connected to Rashi Amatis in this parsha, it makes sense to say that the connection between this parsha and the Rashi Amatis is in an area of Hafaras HaNadarim, which is the underlying theme of this parsha. So based on what we learned today's base about the nedarim, about this parsha being more about hafaras nedarim than about kiyum nedarim, it explains how Rashi knows to learn from Rashi Amatois that you need to have a yachid mumcha or a bezdin for hafaras nedarim. So ad kan the inyan of pshutus mikra. We now understand that this parsha is not about kiyum nedarim; it's about hafaras nedarim. And that's why in the end of the parsha, it doesn't mention kiyum nedarim, because that's not the teichen of the parsha. And that's Rashi doesn't have to explain it, because it's obvious, since it's not what the parsha is really about. And this is why Rashi Amatis teaches us a din about hafaras nedarim, because that's what this parsha is all about. Now we're going to take this concept into pnimi sa'inyanim. This idea of nedarim, which is explained in Chassidus in many places, it's explained in the Likutei Sichos. One of the places is mentioned in Ha'ara 33. It's a sicha of Matos in Chelek Dalid, where it explains at length the idea of nedarim, and we're going to talk about it here as well. And by understanding that, we'll understand al pip nimisa inyanim the connection between Rashi HaMatos and Hafaras nedarim. Ois Dalid. This idea that El Rashi Amatis teaches us something that's connected to Hafaras Nedarim, yes, the Hechra Gam B'Pnimisa Anyanim is also has to be also necessary to see it from that perspective, according to Chassidus. Do a mashkasu b'Yerushalmi. It's known what it says in the Yerushalmi. Benegeli Nedarim with regards to Nedarim. Le dayech a mashasir alecha teira. Is it not enough for you that which teira was asa? Teira prohibited things for you. Ela shat mavakish lesser alecha dvarim achirim. What are you trying to bring upon yourself? New prohibitions. The Gemara over there, the Talmud Yerushalmi, is saying it there also almost in a negative. It's called in the parsha lesser iser al nafshei. Why are you making new isurim upon yourself? And the Yerushalmi there is discouraging nedarim. Now there's many different reasons given for this, but atam al zemuvan according to Chassidus, the reason is as follows: Hakavon noel yena b'kima teiru mitzvis hariyu b'chdei la seis al yadam leyizbaruch tira b'tachteinim. The whole purpose of t'kima teiru mitzvis is to be able to utilize teiru mitzvis, to be able to make a dira b'tachteinim. Therefore, it's understood. You have to work with the material world in order to make a dira b'tachteinim. Like he brings in Ha'ara 22 from the Ayoyim Yoyim, the famous Teres of Baal Shem Tov on the Pasik, Kisida Chamer Seinacha, that in the olden days before the Baal Shem Tov, one would say that when the Guf and the Nefesh Abamis was getting in the way of Yavedis Hashem, it was Revitz Tachas Masoi, it was lying down, it wasn't fulfilling its mission, then the Aveda would be Taniz Vesigufim, to break the Guf and to torture the Guf in order to get it on board. The Baal Shem Tov came and said, no, Hazif Tazivimoi, you have to help the Guf, you have to harness the energy of the Guf to utilize it for serving Hashem. This was the Teres of Baal Shem Tov, and this is the idea of Dira B'Tachteinim. La says Mehem Dira Le'Yisbarach, to utilize the Dvarim Gashmim, the physical world, in order to make them a Dira Le'Yisbarach. The Le'Yisbarach, the Le'Yisbarach, the Le'Yisbarach, the Le'Yisbarach, the Le'Yisbarach, the Le'Yisbarach, and not to step away from it and to separate yourself through nidarim or shvuos to hide from the gospel-stick world. In Ara 23, he brings in the Yerushalmi that it says if a person made a neder, that they're not going to eat a loaf of bread, in achil aver al cheter, aver al nidre. If he ate the bread, he's over on his neder. In lo achil, if he did not eat his bread, chati al nafshe, he's sinning on his soul. He's lacking something. Chati, there's a chet, there's a void. He missed out on an opportunity to be mevayer this bread. And the Gemara Taka says over there, Ketzad the way, hey, lechets the chacham, v'hu matir his nidre. He goes to the chacham, who's going to matir his neder. Because the neder is no good. It's getting in the way of his ability to utilize the world to dvarim gashmiyim. So on the one hand, we see a strong discouragement for nedarim. Amram le'idach, on the other hand, however, harayamur azal, nedarim siag la'prishus. It says in Pirkei Avos, Nidarim siag laprishus. Nidarim is a fence for separation. Meaning to say, Nidarim leads, making promises leads a person to separating themselves from the Dvarim Gashmiim that are going to get in the way of a person's Kedusha. Sha'Nidarim is Sayim l'kayim es atzivui, the Kaddish Haskam mutter lach. Nidarim help him fulfill the tzivui, make yourself holy through that which is mutter. In the words of Ayoyim Yoyim, that which is you're allowed, that's what you're not allowed. You're obviously not allowed. You won't touch it with a 10-foot pole. But even that which you are allowed, who says you need it? In other words, one of the ways of becoming holier and closer to Hashem is by not engaging in unnecessary dvarim gashmiim. And how do you refrain sometimes from these dvarim gashmiim? Make a nether. I'm not going to look at something. I'm not going to go to a certain place. I'm not going to eat a certain food. By making these nedarim, it helps you stay away from these dvarim gashmiim that are going to bring you chas v'shalom to a matziv of hebech of kadosh atzmecha. So how do you sanctify yourself by refraining from dvarim hamutarim that are unnecessary for your avodah? And how do you help yourself get there through a nedarim, implying there's a value to nedarim? It helps you in your kedusha. So these two mamari chazal, these two directives, are seemingly contradictory. On the one hand we say the yachama shasra teira, and the other hand we say the darim siag laprishus. Vinizboir. So it's explained in chsidis. And like I mentioned before, to look in the kutasichis chelik dalid, where this is explained at length very beautifully. Hachilik ben beis hera'is, say, the difference between these two hera'is, these two directives, that it depends on who is being spoken to. Depends on the person. So, a person who's on the straight and narrow, he's on the proper path. And this type of person, it said, don't make any more nedarim. It's usher to make nedarim. In Ara 27, there's a reference to the Yerushalmi in the end of Masechta Kiddushin, where it says over there, "Asid Adam litendin v'chesben al kol sherah seinev liyachal." A person ultimately is gonna have to give an accounting for anything that his eye saw and he didn't eat, anything that he could have eaten and didn't. The question is going to be, why didn't you eat it? Why did you were you not mevarer the nitzuses in this food? This is a person who is on the level of tevi, going with Tevi Yashar. He can't make a neder because the neder gets in the way of serving Hashem and being mevarer the Dvarim Gashmiim. But someone who's anog is not on the proper level. In that person's matziv, in that person's state, one can fear that the Dvarim HaGashmim will bring him down, will make a yirida in him. He can't risk the Dvarim HaGashmim because it might have the negative effect on him. So on this person it was said, he should stay away from the Dvarim Gashmiim, and he should make a neder to keep him away from the Dvarim Gashmiim, because the value of the Birurim is not worth it because of the Yerida that may come from it. In the Ara 29, he brings a vart from the Magid that in the Medrash it says that a person should not say EFC. When it comes, let's say, to eating chazer or other dvarim asurim, a person shouldn't say, I don't want it, it's disgusting. A person should say, EFC, umaese shavis v'smayim gozer alai, really, I want it. I have a taiva for it. But what should I do that the Eibishter doesn't allow it? Technically, this is a much higher level. This is a big schar. If it's something that I don't even want, it's disgusting to me, fine, so I don't do it. But if I really would want to do it, and the only reason I'm not doing it is because the Eibishter doesn't allow it. So this brings me to a very high level, a big schar, that I'm refraining from something that I want because the Eibishter said not to. Says the Magid that this only applies to someone who is on the level of a tzaddik. He never tasted it. Doesn't really know what FC means. But someone who's a Baal Tshuva, someone who is still trying to fight the Ra that's inside of him, he should say EFC. Because we're afraid that if he says FC, he might fall into the trap and actually go ahead and do it. So that person should say EFC. Should say EFC. Now, so it depends on the person. A person that's not in a risk group where he could fall and succumb to this taiva, he could say Efsi, Master Shavis, Master Shavis, Master Shavis, because even if it says Efsi, nothing's going to happen. But a person, this kind of person, could make Nedarim, could stay away from Nedarim, because the Dvarim Gashmiim are not a risk to him. But a person who is in the matzav that he might fall for the Dvarim Gashmiim, and it will draw him into a makim, to a place of a yudidim, he should say EFC, and he should make nedarim, because he's in danger. So this comes out that the ultimate level is the place of non-nedar. The place of breaking a nether, that's the higher level, and that's the ultimate. The person who's still making the darim is because he's still betchilas avoda. He hasn't reached the place in his avoda yet that he's safe without a nether. So now, if the non nether is the ultimate state, me'ata k'shateirim and amazas yeshiz einyam and adarim amishtayach tafkul yachid mumcha egimol adyeit shem bezd mitzad argasi anayle. If the Torah is hinting to a connection between nedarim and yachid mumcha, that there's something connected to him because of his high caliber. How do you move on? It can't be talking about a part of Nedarim where you're sustaining the Nedar, where you're keeping, fulfilling the Nedar, because that's the lower level. It must be talking about a situation where you're breaking and nullifying the Nedar, because that's the higher level. What's the Yachid Mumcha doing? He's breaking the nether. He's lifting up the person to a place that he doesn't have to rely on the nether for his Kiddusha, for his service, for his Avedas Hashem. So we said before that Rashi Amatis teaches us that the Yachid Mumcha is the one to be made for a nether. And we said that the main parish is talking about Afaras Nedarim, and therefore the Rashi Amatis must be connected to Afaras Nedarim. Al Pichsidis makes it also understood. Because since Afaras Nedarim is the higher level of Nedarim, therefore if we're connecting the Rashi Amatis, the high caliber people, it must be that we're connecting them to the higher level of Nedarim, which is the higher aspect within Nedarim, which is Hafaras Nedarim. This will explain to us another detail as well, why this parsha was said now, right before the Eden go into Eretz Yisrael. And that's Eisei. Alpi anashi kusha parsha suhu yin hafaras anadarim. Yuvan gam kein lama nemna parsha sandarim ala zu sabach liknitas in Eretz Yisrael. Now that we understand that the main thrust of this parsha is the hafaras anadarim, the breaking of the nedar. Not so much the kiyum anadarim, we understand why this parsha was said so close to the Yidden going into Eretz Yisrael. The main difference between the Aveda of the Yidden in the Midbar and the Aveda of the Yidden in Eretz Yisrael in the Midbar, they were not involved in physical and material matters. They were being fed by the Lechem and Hashemayim, which was the Mon. They were drinking water. from the Be'er of Miriam. They didn't have to be involved in providing clothing. Because their clothing grew with them. As the Rashi brings from the Medrash on the Pasuk, Simlas Chalev Alsamay Alacha, your clothes did not wear out upon you, says the Medrash, that it grew with them and it was pressed for them in the Anani HaKavayid. So the Yidden in the Midbar were not involved in the Gashmi at all. But in Eretz Yisrael, Yidden had to become involved with the Malacha of Charisha, of plowing Uzdiya and sowing or planting. V'chulu, and so that's the difference. That in the Midbar there was no involvement in Gashmias, and in Eretz Yisrael they had to get involved in Gashmias. But v'davka avei dezui kiniske leil tachas akavan al yena last is the yisbarich dide betachtenim. V'davka this aveda in Eretz Yisrael with the inyanim agashmiim, that is the ultimate purpose of dide betachtenim v'lochein, and therefore kishamdu liikonis Eretz Yisrael ulitzasik babavedezu. When it came to going into Israel and becoming involved in the Aveda b'inyanim gashmiim, in the Aveda of Dideh b'tachtonim, never lema parshas hafaras nedarim, therefore this parsha of hafaras nedarim, of breaking the nether, was said to them, shegam teichona yi ha'aveda im inyanim gashmiim kenal, which its purpose, which its theme, is also the Aveda with inyanim gashmiim. So that's the connection between this parsha and going into Eretz Yisrael, both on the topic of walking away from the Aveda Ruchni, so to speak, not walking away, but getting involved in the Aveda Gashmis, in order to make a Dideh B'tachtonim, and not hiding from the Gashmis because we're afraid of it. So L'cheira, we have it all figured out. We understand the parashat of Al-Pi Pshutosh Mikra. We connected it Al-Pi Chassidus, that the Hafaras Nedarim is the higher level, and the whole Aveid, the ultimate, is to reach to a place of Bitul HaNeder and Hafaras HaNeder, and that's the Aveid of going into Eretz Yisrael, when you're safe enough to be involved in Inyanim Gashmiim, so that you can make a Dideh B'tachtonim. The one thing that we still have to address in Ayis Vav is the fact that this parasha also includes the mitzvah of Kiyum HaNedarim. Even though we said before that it's not the main point of the parsha, but it does mention it. It does talk about it. And also that parsha, part of the parsha, was said right before the Yidden go into Israel. So there must be a connection between Kiyum HaNedarim also with going into Israel. That's Aizvav. Amnam, Kiyum HaNedarim, Kostum Gam Parsha, Zu Etzim HaDin Shal Nedarim. Since this parsha also mentions the general concept of Nedarim, that a person should fulfill his neder liyachal dvaroi, the gamza nemer lem samach liknitzasim la'etz Yisrael, and also this was said to them right before they go into Yisrael, uli his askusam binyanim agashmim, and to their becoming involved with material matters, muvan shegam baze yeshira be'efna veda alazu, that also in kiyum anadarim, there is also a hira in the aveda of going into Yisrael. The main idea of Nedarim is Leyachal Dvaray, he should not make his words profane or empty. His words should not be chulin, should not be without purpose. Chulin literally means mundane, chulin could mean profane. But the idea basically is that if you say words and you don't fulfill them, the words go nowhere, the words are empty. So a person shouldn't do that. A person say words, it has to have an impact. And this is a lesson to the Yid who's going into Eretz Yisrael and is involved in Yonim Gashmiim. Lifel shegam devar of Agashmiim leyu yuchulin el lahamshev b'am kedusha. That the Dvarim Agashmiim should not be sort of a play on words over here, because Dvarav could mean words, Dvarav could mean things. That just like this, Layachel Dvaray, that his words shouldn't be made to be profane, also Layachel Dvaray, his things shouldn't be made to be profane. That when he's involved in Dvarim Gashmiim, the Dvarim Gashmiim should have a Kedusha in it, they shouldn't just be Divrei Choyl, or Dvarim Shal Choyl, things that are unholy. That's a good word. Unholy. So that's it's a two-pronged lesson. One lesson is that ultimately we have to be involved in the Yonim Gashmiim. And we shouldn't try to make a neder to hide from the Gashmias, because if we can, if we're on the level that we're not afraid of the Gashmias, we should harness the Gashmias for a dinner b'tachtonim. And how? What are we supposed to do with the Gashmias? That we learn from Layachal Dvaray, that we should bring a Kedusha into our Inyanei Chulin. In order 36, he brings the idea of Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKadosh. Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKadosh is basically Chulin, regular Chulin, whether it's with produce or with an animal, but it's prepared in this on the same level of Tara as if it was Kadosh. And the Gemara discusses the halachic ramifications of if it's considered, if it's like Kodesh Mamish or not. But there's something called Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh. It's Chulin, it has no inherent Kedusha, but it was prepared with the same level of Tara. In the Siddur Imdach, he explains that this is a metaphor for Avedis Adam, that even in his Chulin, it shouldn't be Chulin Mamish, but it should have some Tara HaKodesh in it as well. That even when a person is eating or drinking or involved in Yonim Gashmiim, it's Chulin, but the Avedis Adam is that the Chulin should have Taras HaKodesh in it as well. And that's what that's similar to what we're learning from the Siddur Imdach, from the Yachal Devorai, that even when the person is involved in Yonim Gashmiim, it can't be Dvarim Shel Choyel Mamish, shouldn't just be mundane, unholy things, but a person has to be mamshich kedusha in Inyanei Chayil. And that's also what we're learning from the Parshas Nedarim, from the aspect of kiyum Nedarim. Umikivan sheira azu nirmezes binyan Nedarim atkon. And since this is being learned from the Nedarim itself, not from the Hafaras Nedarim, but from the Nedarim itself, how do you move on? So the kalechad v'echad yeshne akeach laveidezu. So it's understood that everybody has a kayak for this. Gam lemishle yigia ledargas afaras nedarim. Even someone who's not on the level of afaras nedarim. So the person is still making nedarim, which means he's on the level that he's still trying to stay away from the gashmias. But it's impossible to be totally removed from the gashmias. Even a person who's staying away from extra gashmias still has to eat and drink and engage in the material world. So even the person on the lower level, the person who is still making the nedarim but still has some chulin in his life, some gashmis in his life, he has to make sure to bring kedusha into it. And that's why we're learning this from the nedarim, not from the hafaras on nedarim, because the hafaras on nedarim is for the people on the higher level. But the person who's on the lower level, even that person could, is shaykh to the aveda of bringing kedusha into his dvarim agashmim. Ah, you're going to say he's on the lower level. Where does he have the koyach to do it? The reason for this is learned from the pasuk itself as well. That even the person on the lower level has the ability and the strength to take his dvarim shel dvarim agashmiim, his chulin, and turn it into bringing kedusha into it. How could he do this? Because the pasuk says, "Ben ish li ishte ben av lebitay." Every yid is like the wife of the Eibishter. Like we know that the many places the Eibishter is compared to the chassan and the yid to the kala, and yem chassanase is matan teira. And this is the mashal of Shir Hashirim, which speaks about the ava of a husband and a wife, which is the mashal for the ava of the Eibishter and Knesset Yisrael. So every yid is like the wife of the Eibishter. And also, we're also considered as a daughter of the Eibishter. Like we know that there's different levels. There's Achaisi, Imi, and Biti. Kalasi, Achaisi, Imi, and Biti. And there's different levels of a relationship. Either the Kala, or the mother, or the daughter, or the sister, or the daughter. And it's also another expression of the relationship between Yid and the Eibishter, that we're so close to the Eibishter like a daughter to a parent. So therefore, Ubevad Deshak, this Baruch Hu Nesin Le'akeyach. And therefore, certainly, because we're the Eibishter's wife and we're the Eibishter's daughter, we have this intense closeness to the Eibishter. Certainly, give us the koyach to be able to fulfill this ratzon of the Eibishter to make a dira b'tachtayim. And therefore, even if we're on the lower level, we're still able to be machnis kedusha in our inyanim agashmim, so that layachal dvarei, so that our dvarim agashmim are not inyanim shel chulin, but they're chulin shenasu al taras hakodesh. Or at least there's a kedusha in them, and that's how we go into Eretz Yisrael. We go into the Gashmistic world, and we harness the energy of the Gashmias, and we make a dira b'tachtonim for the Eibishter.